Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, it's God's house, and He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. It's so good. As I mentioned last Sunday, for the past few weeks, I have talked about the cost of following Jesus, the price we must pay if we mess with His message. And last week I reviewed facts about hell, which teach us the eternal pain and suffering of those persons whose destination is hell. And we study these topics in order to learn what we must do to receive God's gift of salvation and the consequences if we do not receive that gift. For if we are saved, we shall live an eternity in heaven where there is no suffering and pain. Therefore, it is imperative for us to learn to live our life in accordance with God's teachings and His commands. Because on judgment day we shall stand before God, the book of life will be opened, all secrets will be revealed, and God Almighty will question each and every one of us regarding what we did or did not do with this life He gave us here on earth. And many of us will not have lived the life that He commanded. And we shall begin making excuses for ourselves. And our text this morning obviously involves excuses. It is found in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one in the pew rack in front of you as I read our text, Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. This is a parable being told by Jesus. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. As I said, on Judgment Day will be the day when people will make excuses for everything. However, any and all excuses will fall way short of minimizing or excusing our actions or lack thereof. The following excuses will not be accepted at the judgment seat. "Lord, everybody else was doing it." How many times over and over have we used that excuse from early childhood, probably up until the day we leave this earth? It certainly will not be accepted by God. God is a nonconformist. When you think of all the great men that God used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to advance His kingdom, to prophesize, to bring us the message, each one was a nonconformist. In fact, God's Word teaches us not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Think about the great men in the Bible that God used who did not conform to this world. First, there was Noah. Certainly, Noah was a nonconformist. He was considered strange by his neighbors and those that knew him. Enoch did not conform to the world. He walked with God. Abraham did not conform. Everyone else went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he continued to live in the desert. Another excuse that God may hear on Judgment Day is times have changed since Jesus and his disciples walked this earth, Lord. Well, they surely have. Changed tremendously. However, such fact does not change God's Word. God's Word, just like God, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Politics change, customs change, cultures change, fashions change. But God's Word does not change. And then we talked about if we mess with the message, if we try to change it, we will suffer the consequences of doing so. And remember that even in times when the economy is poor, the wages of sin is still the same. It is death. That does not change. Third excuse. Lord, I was told that it does not matter what the teachings I believe as long as I am sincere and faithful to those teachings. Remember, Paul warned the people about the Judaizers or the false teachers. They were teaching new Christians that faith alone was not enough to receive salvation, that there was more. They added to the message. They messed with the message. Satan uses this excuse more than any other to send people to hell. You know, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but, you know, it's okay, you know, to be a Christian, but you don't need to go to church. You can worship God at home. Anything to convince us that what we believe is going to have good benefits for us in eternity. You can have faith in all the religious teachings you want to, but unless that faith is in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will not receive the gift of salvation. I could not see you, God, and did not understand the doctrines of faith and salvation. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so that men are without excuse." God said, "You don't need to see me. You can see my handiwork. And that should be sufficient for you to believe." There is no excuse for not being saved. We live in a world consisting of things that we don't understand, but yet we believe in them, electricity. I'm not an electrician, and I certainly don't understand all the details of that. But I know when I go in a room and flip on the switch, I believe that there will be light. Satellites, I have no idea how someone came up with that concept. But I know when I turn on the TV, I want that signal to bounce off that satellite and come into my den. There are so many things that we have faith in that a man made. We certainly can believe in what God has done. Lord, I was so busy, I put off accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's Word is full of examples of those who put it off. Remember the rich young ruler. Remember the man in hell that we talked about last week that begged Abraham to allow Isaac to just touch his finger in water and press it to the rich man's lips who was in hell. We don't know the day nor the time of Jesus' return. Therefore, we must accept him today or we risk eternal life in hell. Jesus' parable, which was recorded by Luke in his gospel that we read, deals with excuses. And Jesus describes this great banquet to which the master of the house had extended an invitation far and wide. Well, the invitation, as was the custom of the day, did not contain the time because they did not have refrigeration that they could prepare for a banquet a day or two in advance. And then when the people came at 1 o'clock or noon, that everything was ready. But the understanding of the day was that on that day, when you were invited to be at the banquet, a notification would be given to you so that you could come, and you were expected, if you accepted the invitation, you were expected to place that on your schedule, and when the servant came or whoever came and notified you, you were to drop what you were doing and go to the banquet because the time had finally come when it was prepared and ready to be served. To accept the invitation and then make an excuse not to come was a grave insult to the host giving the banquet. Everyone knew the banquet was being prepared for a specific date, and they were supposed to be there when they were notified. Yet all of those who accepted the invitation, when the servant went and said, "All is ready, now is the time to come," they all made excuses. One man said he was too involved in business. He had bought a lot of land and he wanted to go see it. Unfortunately, a person can become too involved in any business, regardless of the type, to the point that it often consumes his or her life. Other things fall away and business is all that matters. Another man said he was involved in new purchases. He had purchased 5 yoke of oxen and he wanted to go try them out. So it is with new cars, new houses, CDs, new computers. We will put that first. Those things, that stuff that we acquire. And the Bible tells us that material things can be the root in our lives and become the most important things. Still another man said he was involved with his family. He had just married and could not come. We know that marriage is ordained by God. Marriage is certainly a great responsibility and a great event in anyone's life. But too often, family becomes all-consuming and takes over the priority in our life. Well, what does this parable mean? Many of you have guessed it or you've probably read about it. But a parable has usually two meanings, a surface meaning and then a spiritual meaning. And this parable, the surface meaning was just what it was. It was a master had prepared a banquet, invited people who accepted the invitation, and then the day that the feast was prepared and they were to come, they made excuses and did not come. On a spiritual level, we need to ask who is preparing this banquet. And that is God. And what is He preparing? What is the banquet? It is the Christian life. It is faith and salvation. It is God's kingdom that He's preparing for us. We're told that He's prepared a place for us in heaven, and He is waiting for us to come. What is and Jesus is the servant who invites the guest. God sent His Son to tell us that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, and that I must die in order for you to live eternally. God sent His servant. And who were invited? The invitees is everybody. The believers, the non-believers. You know, the Asians, the Africans, the Jews, and the Gentiles. And that's what happened. When the Jews did not accept their invitation to the banquet, God sends Jesus, His servant, out and says, invite everyone, the crippled, the lame, the poor. And talking about going into the lanes and roads. And biblical scholars tell us that He's talking about inviting the Gentiles. Everyone that He meets, He is to invite. And the consequences to those who did not accept the invitation is that they will not share in the banquet. They will not be a part of God's kingdom for eternity. The application of this parable comes from looking at the different excuses. God wants us to make Him the priority of our life. And this parable is about God's offering salvation and about those who made excuses and put this gift of salvation, this banquet, in the background, and other things were placed first. God wants us to give Him number one priority in our lives. He desires for His Word to be the primary influence in our lives. He desires our Sabbaths to be dedicated to Him. He desires our worship to be directed only to Him. He desires our money to honor Him first. God wants a relationship with us, and He desires such relationship to be the most important relationship or event or anything in our life. But we make excuses as to why we don't make it number one. Maybe your business has taken over your life and you have no time for God. What is your excuse on Judgment Day? Maybe the things of life and the pursuit of them are more important than God. What is your excuse? Maybe you haven't read your Bible in quite a while. What is your excuse? Maybe you only pray when you're here at church. What is your excuse? Maybe you act like a Christian on Sunday, but not on Monday through Saturday. What is your excuse? Maybe you have decided not to tithe. What is your excuse? The life of a Christian is all about giving God priority and living under His leadership. And in today's society, we too often take that command of God lightly. We think we can either do it tomorrow or He's really not going to do what He says He's going to do. If we are a good person and we are a good husband and a good father and a good mother, a good brother and a good sister and aunt and uncle and grandparent and great-grandparent, and we treat everybody fairly, surely God is not going to condemn us to a life of eternity in hell. But surely this word of God says yes. You don't get to be at the banquet because you have good intentions, because you are a good person. You get to be there because you place God first, because you make Him number one. You give Him first priority in your life. If we do not do so, then we are not a child of His, and we shall be making excuses before the judgment seat on judgment day. And as I said at the beginning of this message, they will not have any effect at all. God will say, I told you, I gave you years and years and years living on earth, and you had my word, and you ignored it, and you did not put me first. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we are to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And I think it's easier for most of us to accept Him as Savior. We are intelligent enough and we have been exposed to God's Word enough to know that we cannot earn our way into heaven. That we need to be washed of our sin. We need Jesus to accomplish that. But we must not forget that He is to also be Lord of our life as well. He must be the number one priority. Not stuff, not work, not family, but God is to be number one. Then if we do that, we can attend the banquet and be a part of the kingdom of God. I have no idea what your excuse is to God or what issues have developed in your relationship with Him. We all give God excuses as to why we cannot be faithful and serve Him. But I encourage you to quit making those excuses today, right at this minute, and commit yourself to being faithful to Him. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to quit making excuses as to why you cannot do so, and to do that today. It's easy. All you need to do is to say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I want you in my life as Lord and Savior, because I know that I need you in order to spend eternity with you rather than in hell. You come forward, I'll pray with you, and we'll talk about where we go from there. Please come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 321, The Savior's Waiting.